They Were Afraid, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
For to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus, an empty tomb, is not good news, not for sinners, apart from his death for sinners.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the Easter season.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We often talk about vocation here on Issues Etc., and for those of you who are unfamiliar with the term, we're not really talking about going to school to learn how to do a trade. That's kind of a late 20th century view of vocation. We're talking about more of kind of the 16th century view, maybe even the first century view of vocation, where St. Paul says, whatever you find, whatever your hand finds to do, do it as unto the Lord. When you live out your Christian life, it is lived in faith toward God and in love toward your neighbor. And wherever God has put you, stay there and do what he has given you to do. That's kind of what vocation is. It simplifies the Christian life beautifully, and especially when it comes to the family. We're beginning a five-part weekly series on family and vocation today, confusing the family and the vocation in this nourishing estate. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest. He's provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. Dr. Veith, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be with you again.
And joining us also for this series, Deaconess Mary Moberly. She's diaconal writer for the Cronach Institute. Deaconess Murby and Dr. Veith are co-authors of this new book called Family Vocation, God's Calling in Marriage, Parenting, and Childhood. Mary, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Dr. Veith, you write early in your book about the need for a different paradigm, a different framework for thinking about the family. Why is that needed today, and what is that different way of thinking, that different framework?
Well, it's odd that Christians are having trouble today even defining what marriage is or explaining to someone why same-sex couples can't get married. And Christians, in the meantime, are having the same kinds of problems in their families, really, that everyone else does, and tend to think about family kind of in the same secular term that has to do mainly with self-fulfillment and the like, or a romantic attachment is what marriage is all about. And the problem is the family is really falling apart right now. Marriage is not seen as necessary for you know, sex or living together or having children or parenting or anything else. The fathers aren't necessary for parenting, for raising children, and we're seeing the social consequences of it. What we try to recapture in this book is to see marriage in terms of the doctrine of vocation and family and parenting in terms as vocations from God, as things that God has established in the way he has created this world that we're in, and he calls us to it, into these relationships, as arenas for us to live out our faith and love and service to our neighbor. And I think if we have this different model for thinking about marriage, a lot of other issues you have to look at in a completely different way.
Mary, this really isn't a new, it is different from what the culture would suggest to us for family, but it is not new, is it?
No, certainly not. We really are so fortunate to be able to grasp the Reformation contribution that justification, grace, the atoning work of Christ, these are at the center of every facet of Christian teaching and at every facet of the Christian life. And I think that regaining that perspective can only do good. It's not that these are necessarily new things, but it's, I think, a very understandable perspective and one that is liberating and really offers hope to those who might be struggling.
Right. And when you read other Christian books about the family, it's all moralism or pop psychology or who's got to obey who, and kind of reducing God's design to sort of a law, legalistic kinds of thing that in practice no one can fulfill anyway. So again, taking kind of an approach grounded in the gospel, though, I think can really be helpful as people understand their family lives and even work through the crosses they have to bear and the problems and challenges that these callings often bring us. But again, it's the gospel that makes all the difference.
So take us back, if you would, Dr. Veith, to the time of the Lutheran Reformation, and both of you have alluded to this, where the gospel kind of becomes, again, the center of all Christian theology, and it has a real tangible effect on how the church begins to view things like father, mother, children, even to the point of regarding these things as holy estates. Talk mm-hmm. about that, Dr. Veith.
Well, in the Middle Ages, and really in Catholicism today, if you're really going to be holy, really be a strong Christian, you would receive a vocation, that is a calling, and that would be a calling to be a priest or a monk or a nun. And with those callings came vows. You would have to take a vow of celibacy, which means you would not get married, or you would not have children, again, rejecting marriage and having a family, which, of course, has so many burdens that was thought to distract you from the spiritual life. You would take a vow of poverty, which means you would not participate in the economic life of everyone else, of ordinary society. You take a vow of obedience to church officials, which actually freed you from having to obey the state and national laws. And so part of what Luther's point was is that marriage and parenthood and working and being a citizen, these are also callings. These are also vocations from God, and God does call some people into full-time church work, and he calls others into other things. And Christians have multiple vocation in all of the estates that God is ordained, but the Christian life is to be lived out not just in the monastery, but in marriage, in parenting, in the workplace, in your citizenship, and all of a sudden there was a different way family was viewed. Family had been viewed sort of in, you know, marriage and parenting as something necessary for the weakness of the flesh, something necessary to propagate the species. But after the Reformation, the family was seen almost like a little church, again an arena for Christians to live out their faith in their relationships with each other in their own families. And it was just a radical difference. The writings about family just boomed. Practice like family devotions just took off. And the family was seen as a place, again, for living out the gospel in some very tangible, practical ways.
Deaconess Murby, Dr. Veith mentioned a moment ago the kind of the typical approach to this is to lay down a set of ground rules or house rules or principles or whatever it may be in order to kind of shore up the fiber of the family. Why is it that more rules, more principles simply won't work to solve what is so desperately wrong with the family today?
Well, of course, there are two things that happen. Either people follow the rules and get so full of themselves that it affects all of their relationships, or they do not follow the rules. They get depressed or they are too hard on themselves, and again, it affects their relationships. I think it's a very sad thing that so much of modern thought emphasizes if we do the right thing, we will be all right with God. If we do the right thing, we will be all right with one another. when that's just not the way creation is designed to work. There is so much of more of a gift nature. You know, we are to love one another. We are to nurture one another, not follow this list that God was too mean to give us.
So it sounds like what you're saying, Mary, is that the answer is in the gospel and not in the law.
Yes. And the problems are all in the theological things that we've learned, that we are sinners. And that's why we have problems, not only sinning against God, but with one another. And of course, when we receive God's mercy and love, then that also impacts how we serve and love one another. In short, love abounds. And when we receive God's love, then we are able to share that love through the power of the Holy Spirit.
With about a minute here, Mary, why is it that the family is the place that God has created this relationship of faith toward Him and love toward the neighbor, to begin and not only to be taught, but to be formed in us?
Well, I can think of two ways to actually answer that. One being marriage, which is such a reflection of God's relationship with His people, but also on a very practical level, children learn how to interact with others within family. Every child that has ever been learns first from the family.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Deaconess Mary Murby and Dr. Gene Edward Veith, part one of a five-part weekly series on family vocation. They've co-authored the book Family Vocation, God's Calling in Marriage, Parenting, and Childhood. Stay tuned.
They Were Afraid, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
For to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus, an empty tomb, is not good news, not for sinners, apart from His death for sinners.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the Easter season.
Looking for a church that has a small, family-like atmosphere, yet strives for excellent liturgical worship with outstanding music while focused on God's Word and sacraments? A church located in the heart of St. Louis and reaching out to the neighborhood with Jesus Christ and Him crucified? I'm Pastor John Helwig of Emmaus Lutheran Church at 2241 South Jefferson in St. Louis. I invite you to join us for Bible class Sunday mornings at 9 and worship at 10:30. Visit us on the web at emmaus-stl.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Gene Edward Veith and Deaconess Mary Murby are our guests, beginning a five-part weekly series on family vocation. Dr. Veith, to hear the two of you talk, it sounds like family is, while it certainly is a vocation, it's kind of greater than all the others. in that God instituted it, but also in that it seems to be kind of the meta vocation, the one that is the foundation for all the others. It's the one that everyone gets to be a part of, regardless of what their other vocations may be.
That's really true, and that's how Luther saw it. You know, when we talk about vocation, we immediately think of jobs, because we use vocation as a synonym for, you know, jobs, the way you make a living. Whereas for Luther, most of his writing about vocation is about family and life in marriage and parenting and so on. Even the workplace, Luther treated as part of the vocation of the household. In other words, the home and the family and the way families make a living. And so even vocation in our sense is really part of the family vocations. And the same is true, again, in the Large Catechism, Luther talks about how the government and so on is simply an extension of the family. So we have fathers of our country and so on. And even, in the church is a special one where God calls us through the gospel into an eternal kingdom. But family is for everyone, Christian or not Christian. And God's working and the way he's designed it, really, it's a vocation that everybody has because everyone was born. And that means everyone had a father and a mother. And, you know, even those who are, you know, single or by themselves, nevertheless, they're part of a family and a process of generation that goes all the way back through to Adam and Eve. And so the family really is, I like the way you put it, sort of the meta vocation that all others relate to.
Does that mean that we have to dispense with this kind of dualism with regard to how God does his work among us, how God does what he does through vocation that's so popular among Christians? They think of God's work as intangible, spiritual, largely subjective. Do we need to get rid of that dualism and think about God's work in very material terms, Dr. V?
Well, in very material terms and in very ordinary terms. And that's one of the big insights, I think, when you study vocation. It's not just in these spectacular supernatural experiences or these unusual, dramatic kinds of good works or spiritual highs of one kind or another, but it's in the ordinary parts of daily life, you know, getting up, going to work, spending time with your family, playing with the kids, doing things with your spouse. Those things that seem so ordinary are often the most important part of our spiritual life, really. And sometimes we neglect those. Sometimes we get so busy, even in church activities. You know, there's some churches that there's something going on every day of the week. And some people have it in their mind that, you know, those are somehow more spiritual, and they neglect their marriages or they neglect their children. And again, the doctrine of vocation sort of restores the importance of those ordinary relationships, because that's where God has called us to. That's where God wants us to serve above all.
Then we're really talking about all of this being encompassed, Mary, with the word love. I mean, all of vocation essentially comes down to this, love for neighbor, whoever that neighbor may be. In that vein, Mary, you're married, aren't you?
I am.
Okay, so describe to us in those theological terms what the vocation of wife is, the vocation that you occupy in that sense.
Okay, well, I am very blessed with a wonderful husband who takes good care of me, and he's certainly not picking out my clothes in the morning or micromanaging my day, but he happens to be a pastor, and I, as a wife, followed him to his first call. You know, he had this way to provide for the family, and so the family is provided for. And in that sense, I have a very passive role. However, I also have an active role in that I do love him. I respect him. I do all that I can to make sure that he's taken care of. His job is not fulfilling himself. His job is to pour himself out for his congregation and for me and for his children. And I get to return that. I get to do what I can to make sure that he's taken care of, that he's resting enough, that he's got all that he needs.
Yeah, that's a good picture of how Ephesians 5 describes marriage and relationship of husband and wife is relationship between Christ and the church. And I think you really see that lived out, where the husband is sacrificing himself for his wife and for his family. The wife is submitting to him. Both are denying themselves for the out of love for the other in different ways. And I think that really sums up what really God's design for marriage, and how Christ and the church is really what marriage really is.
And that the church has a dominantly passive role receiving the gifts of Christ, receiving his word, being in fellowship with one another is more like how a church is active towards, in her sense, her children, the faithful who gather around, as well as anyone in need who might come knocking at her door.
I also noticed something in what both of you just said there, and that is we have complementary vocations at work in the family. And I guess every vocation has its complement out there. A doctor has a patient, and a patient has a doctor. Mm-hmm. But in a much deeper and richer sense, there is a husband who has a wife. He isn't a husband apart from his wife, and then there are parents that have children and children that have parents, and they aren't that vocation apart from the other vocation. Talk about that those paired vocations that God has created in marriage and family, Dr. Veith.
Yeah, I notice that's exactly how the Catechism presents vocation in the Table of Duties. It introduces the holy orders. And that's the same term used again for being in a monastery or the like. But it talks about the duties of husbands, the duties of wives. These are holy orders, and they all come in dyads, in these two: husbands and wives, parents and children, you know, employer and worker, you know, pastors and hearers of the word. And that stresses the kind of relational dimension of all vocations, and how each vocation has its own special neighbor who is to be loved and served in the way appropriate in that calling. And, you know, loving and serving. At the end of the Small Catechism and the Table of Duties, it gives the direction. It has all these dyads, and then it says, you know, and to all, and then, you know, the command to, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. So this is in Luther's Catechism. The Table of Duties expresses this so profoundly, and again, it should be part of every Lutheran's regular study and practice.
Something that I think is really especially important to highlight about family vocations is that in the family, there is never a one-to-one ratio of doing good for one another. There is no tit for tat. A child cannot repay his parents. And in a marriage, I mean, a husband cannot be the wife. There's this wonderful, I mean, you really do have to depend on the other vocations. It's this totally realm of a free gift. You cannot demand love. You cannot demand respect within a marriage. It must be given. And while so many other vocations, you pay money at the doctor's office, or you cut hair because you're the barber. But in family, you really just have to, I'm not saying this well, but you just have to give as you can, not for money, but just for love.
Yeah, and, you know, the other great part of Luther's doctrine of vocation is that God is actually in vocation, that God is hidden in vocation. And the Bible clearly teaches about how Christ is hidden in marriage and in parenting. God is the Father. And we often think that that means that, well, earthly fathers sort of symbolize something about God. I think it's really the reverse. God is the real Father, just as Christ is the real husband and the church is the real wife. Our earthly vocations in those ways are kind of dim images of the real thing that's going on with God. And what Mary just said, God as our Father is always giving. It's all grace. Yeah, your child does not deserve everything that you have to do for him. And that grace in God's fatherhood to us, you know, carries over, I think, into our parenting and what we do for our children. And so, again, that grace is just sort of foundational to everything else.
There's so much more to talk about. I'm glad we're making this a 5-part weekly series on family vocation. Dr. Jean Edward Veith is Provost and Professor of Literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. Dr. Veith, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, my pleasure.
Deaconess Mary Murby is Diaconal Writer for the Chronic Institute. Deaconess Murby and Dr. Veith are co-authors of this new book called Family Vocation, God's Calling in Marriage, Parenting, and Childhood. You can purchase this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for Family Vocation by Dr. Jean Edward Veith and Deaconess Mary Murby. Mary, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for having us.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to international human rights attorney Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about Islam and the 2012 elections in France. Folks, we still have 40 days left in the entire Easter season. Pentecost Sunday is on May 27th. Now, for any size donation to Issues Etc. during the season of Easter, we're going to send you a CD of one of my Eastern Ascension sermons. No gift is too small. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also support this worldwide outreach by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to LPR. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, as always, and thanks for keeping us in mind during the Easter season. The family is this tremendous institution of God. It is the wisest course of action because it is the way that God has designed us to live together in vocation, especially for us Christians, to live in faith toward Him and love toward our neighbors. It's where we meet our first neighbors. It's where God brings us into contact with those, not only those that we love, but those that we are called to serve in Christ's name. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.